Good morning. It's wonderful to see you today as we come to worship and praise our Almighty God. We come with thanksgiving for the rain, such a blessing. We come in His presence to glorify His name, to lift up our voice in praise to Him, and to offer Him our thanksgiving for all. Our God is worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen. Two quick announcements before we begin. Sunday, May 3rd, is our Friends and Family Day. There are invitations on the tables in the foyer for you to pick up. There's a lot of color. I love color. So, Sunday, May 3rd, start thinking about who you can invite, family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, anyone and everyone, to come worship and praise God with us. There'll be a big potluck meal afterwards, so start thinking about what you can prepare to bring. Second announcement. If you received an email from me Friday or Saturday, it was not from me. I don't know if they went on our website and got my name and title, and somehow they got a lot of church members' email addresses. But the email was requesting help, saying I was in a meeting and I couldn't call, and requesting you to purchase things. I will never email you and ask for money. All of my request goes to the elders. So if you received an email, please delete it immediately. If you receive an email from me in the future, please call me first before you respond. That being said, have you ever been persecuted for your faith? You know, in the United States, what kind of persecution do we face? Maybe a coworker rolls his eyes every time you mention the church. Maybe a family member has labeled your Christian values as old-fashioned. Maybe a friend has slowly drifted away from you because you keep reminding them of the God they're trying to avoid. Yes, in the United States, we don't face imprisonment or beatings or being put to death. But did you know in parts of the world, severe persecution occurs? Open Doors 2025 World Watch List reported that every day an average of 12 Christians are killed for their faith. That's a Christian every 2 hours. They also reported that more than 380 million Christians suffer high levels of persecution or discrimination for their faith. They gave another whole list of numbers. They reported that 4,849 Christians were killed for reasons related to their faith. 7,679 churches or public properties were attacked or forced to close. 4,744 believers were arrested, imprisoned, detained without trial or sentence. 3,775 followers of Jesus were abducted. 3,944 Christians were sexually assaulted, sexually harassed, or forcibly married to non-Christians. 55,000 were mentally or physically abused. 28,368 houses, shops, or businesses belonging to Christians were attacked, and approximately 210,000 followers of Jesus were forced to flee their homes. We do not have that kind of persecution in our nation. Our persecution is more discriminatory, or it's more exclusion, or it's more social pressure. But there is persecution occurring all around the world. Is there any good that can come from persecution? I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to conclude our study of the Beatitudes this morning, and we come to the last one, or last two, depending on how you count them. I group them together because they're both about persecution. But let's read verses 10 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed? Happy? When you're being persecuted? Let's notice what Jesus is saying. First, let's notice the reality of persecution. Jesus says, when you're persecuted, not if. When can mean whenever. We may not be in a constant state of persecution, but if it occurs, we should not be surprised. While Jesus and the apostles were not in a constant state of persecution, there were even times of popularity among the multitudes for them. But they were severely persecuted. As we notice persecution in our country, whether it's social, legal, institutional, we do see some. Teachers are, there are workplace biases, and teachers are withheld from expressing their faith in the classroom. What about the bakery that endured severe persecution because they refused to serve someone that violated their Christian faith? So yes, things go on in our nation, but persecution is not always violent, for it can be a many manner of ways. But persecution is also not random. Jesus says if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, he said as Christians, we may be persecuted for righteousness. Well, you would think people who were living good, godly lives would not be persecuted, but treated with respect. And you would think the bad people, the evil people, would be the ones persecuted, but they're not. It's just the opposite. So as we look at persecution, Jesus tells us three different ways we could be persecuted. First, he says we can be physically persecuted or endure physical persecution. In verses 10, 11, and 12, persecuted is mentioned in each verse. The word means physical persecution, harassment, abuse, unjust treatment. All other Beatitudes, the first seven, deal with character, deals with spirituality, deals with who we are on the inside. The last one deals with something that occurs externally when we're faced with persecution. This beatitude causes many to adjust their faith to society. It causes many to compromise their standards, which are set forth in the teachings of God's Word, to keep from being persecuted. It even causes some people, when persecution starts, to turn and walk away from God. This commandment, this beatitude, basically will show how faithful we are and how firm we are in the faith. For there can be no compromise for children of God with the world. He said we would have physical persecution. He also said we may have verbal insults. He said, blessed are you when people revile you. That is, insult you. Have you ever been verbally abused? Maybe an employer at work jumped down your throat. Maybe someone persecuted you. Yeah, verbal insult and shamed you in front of a lot of other people. Ever had your spouse verbally tear you up? Yes, we face verbal insults in our society. But Jesus says these verbal insults are because you're children of God. These verbal insults are because you're walking after Christ. These verbal insults are because you're trying to serve your Savior. Well, Jesus was verbally insulted on the night he was betrayed, when he stood before the Sanhedrin and he was spit upon and he was beaten and they blindfolded him and they hit him and they said, prophesy to us, O Christ, who is it that struck you? Yes, he was persecuted. After Pilate sentenced him to be crucified, the Roman soldiers mocked him and spit upon him and beat him about the face with a reed. Jesus said we may face insults for our Christianity. He also said that we may face false accusations. Now, verbal insults are normally to our face, and we can defend ourselves. But false accusations are normally made behind our backs. And a lot of times, our reputation can be tarnished or destroyed before we even know about it, because we're not there to defend ourselves. I have a good friend whose son had a false accusation made against him. And people believed it. And months later, the accusation was retracted. And the person says, I made it up for the attention. But there were still people saying, well, I still believe it's true. There's got to be something to it, or she never would have made that accusation. False accusations, yes, can harm us. But we still have to stand strong for the cause of Christ. Yes, we may be persecuted in this life. There's a reality to it. But what are the reasons for persecution? Jesus outright says, you will be persecuted for righteousness. Do you remember what Paul said? All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It seems strange that we're just trying to live faithful Christian lives that people will harass us. Well, who's doing the persecuting? The unrighteous. The unrighteous are persecuting the righteous because our righteousness reveals to them how far they're away from God. Our righteousness points out that they are not living for Christ. They're living in immorality. They're living in all kinds of wickedness. And we just remind them of it because we're striving to walk after God. Yes, there are reasons for persecution. The bad people persecute the good people. All the way back to the beginning of time, do you remember righteous Abel was persecuted by his brother Cain? Genesis chapter 4. We have it appearing all down. The more your life reflects Jesus, the more you can expect to be persecuted. The more we strive to walk after Him. You know, the world loves a generic spirituality. They love a spirituality that is all love, peace, and joy to all. Doesn't confront anyone, doesn't condemn anyone. But they despise a spirituality that has a Savior say you have to come to Him to be saved. They despise a spirituality that has a cross that demands repentance. They despise a spirituality that requires obedience to be faithful unto God. So persecution is live and well today in the world. A lot of times the reason we're persecuted is not because of us. It's because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Satan's number one enemy is Christ Jesus. And he persecutes us because we follow Jesus. Because Jesus lives in us. The Satan attacks. And he will use whoever and whenever, wherever he can to try to lead us away from God. Well, as we're walking after God, as we're being persecuted, what should our response be? Jesus tells us we're to rejoice and be glad. Rejoice when we're being persecuted? I mean, last thing you expect to hear from God is when you're suffering is to rejoice. And He says, be glad about it. You know, the Greek word there for to be glad means rejoice greatly. Literally, it means to skip and jump with happy excitement, to leap for joy. The only time you see people in our nation do that is at a ball game when their winning team just wins by a hair at the very end. And they're jumping up and down and shouting for glory and just beaming from ear to ear because their team won. But Jesus isn't talking about a ball game. He's talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake, for standing up for the truth, letting the world know that you walk after Christ Jesus, your Lord. We can say one thing for sure. Persecution is evidence of an authentic faith. It might show our spiritual deficiency here when we just try to blend in with the world around us. Ever heard a crude joke at work? Did you just stand there and chuckle a little bit at the end? Why not walk away? Why not say, excuse me, I'm a Christian and I don't appreciate such, and then turn and walk away? Do we just try to blend in to keep from being pointed out? Persecution authenticates your faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to remember, we're not suffering for doing wrong. We're suffering for doing good. So yes, our response to persecution should be still faithfulness to God. And Jesus says, when you are, then you're named among the prophets. He said, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. You know you're in good company if you're being named after amongst the prophets of God. To have your name listed in the same breath as God's mighty prophets is quite an honor. And remember Jeremiah. He was persecuted for speaking the truth. He was thrown down into a pit. Remember Daniel. Because he prayed to God three times a day, he was cast into a lion's den. Remember Elijah, who proved and had the tremendous victory on Mount Carmel, proved the one true God is the Lord God Almighty. Queen Jezebel threatened to put him to death. Or what about all the other prophets? They were sown in two. They were killed with the sword. They were harassed. They were murdered. But they stood for their faith. Are we standing for ours? How should we respond to persecution? Well, first, we do not compromise. You do not lower God's standards to fit into the world. Second, we speak the truth in love. We lovingly tell of salvation in Christ Jesus. Third, we do not retaliate, but respond with grace. The world expects us to get angry. The world wants to retaliate. The world wants to see people get what they deserve. But as Christians, we respond with grace and love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Next, we do not hide our faith. I read an article where a man came home and said, "Honey, I made it all day at work and no one knew I was a Christian." Would that be something to brag about? You would think just from the way you acted and lived that they would see Jesus in you and see something different about me. Imagine one day standing before Jesus and he looks at you with fiery eyes and with great tenderness and he says, "You stood up for me. You did not deny me. You never hid your faith. You remained faithful all the days of your life, and this is your reward." What is the reward of persecution? Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if you've noticed or not, the Beatitudes begin and end with the same reward. First Beatitude, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for your reward is in heaven. And did you notice if your reward is in heaven, that means you're going to be in heaven? We're promised a tremendous reward of living forever with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our present life is nothing but a vapor that appears for a little while, then quickly vanishes away. James 4, 13 and 14. The time we spend on earth will be nothing compared to eternity. The persecution we face on earth will be nothing compared to the joy of heaven forever. We are rewarded when we endure persecution. We have blessings in our lifetime. When we're persecuted, we have a whole Christian family to come to our aid, to come to us, to support us, to encourage us. We have a whole multitude of people praying to God for us. We have blessings in this lifetime because we have the hope of eternal life, hope in heaven above, hope of a better life following this one. We also have blessings in the future. For Jesus says, your reward will be in heaven. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? We read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, about heaven. Next slide, please. We read that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We read in Revelation 21, 3, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Can you imagine walking right beside the Lord God Almighty? Can you imagine seeing God on his throne, Christ on his throne, seeing the Holy Spirit of God, to see the cherubim flying around, to see all the holy angels, to see the multitudes of people who maintain their faith even when persecuted? Are you ready for heaven? The Scriptures teach to be heir of eternal life, you must become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus teaches us to do that. We must believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our faith before others. And we must be fully immersed in a watery grave to have our sins washed away, to arise and walk in newness of life. Have you been baptized into Christ Jesus today? We have water, garments you can change into. You can be immersed and on your way rejoicing when you depart. Or if you're a Christian today, are you ready for heaven where you're living today? Have you drifted away from God and you know you need to come home? Do you have sin in your life? You know you need to repent of that. Do you need to make your life right? God is calling. Jesus is calling. Will you come to him and be made right once again and stand heir of eternal life? If you need to come to our Lord, we encourage you to respond to the front now as we stand and sing.